Boy, it feels good to be outside. It just does. It's sort of like being in school when you have that, like, have that day where you get to take class outside. Did you hear that bang, that loud bang? That was batting practice. At a ball.
Harrison Bader launching bombs.
Bader's just trying to take us out here. Save a couple for the game, but I like to see it. Live batting practice here. You know, I will say this is one of the things I remember as a kid growing up in Chicago. We go to White Sox games, we go to Cubs games, and you could get there and watch batting practice.
Yeah.
And now they open, what do they open, about an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 20 minutes before?
About that, yeah.
So you don't really get to see live batting practice.
You can
too
maybe
often.
See the opposing team, but you wouldn't be able to see the Twins.
Yeah. It is fun to see it out here, and it has been a renewed focus this year for the Twins to make sure that everybody takes live fielding practice, live batting practice. Hasn't helped the last 10 games, for sure.
Yeah.
But you get in these stretches. The question is, can the Twins turn it around? It starts tonight. The pregame right here at 6 o'clock, first pitch at 6:40 on your home for the Twins. CCO, it's time for Kate Raddatz and the Rad Report. And Kate Raddatz is with us, the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Vice President of Media Relations at McClung PR. Kate, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Have you taken the kids to a Twins game yet?
We have. Yes, we have.
And how did it go? Because your kids are how old?
They are now 2, 4, and 6.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always compare it to what it was like before. So in my mind, it went great. I'm sure to anyone who was watching us, they thought it was a little bit of a juggling. But, you know, my six-year-old, you know, the six-year-old's very different than the two-year-old. So
we
love it. You know, there's so much for them to look at. We don't watch the game in the way other people watch games. But, you know,
it's a different deal.
It's a
different deal now, for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
It is fun. It's just fun getting the kids into a different circumstance. I think there's benefit. Like, I mean, one of the nice things about the modern stadium design is that you can walk around the joint. So, like, you can wander. You can do stuff. Like, I don't know. There's stuff to keep the kids busy. They don't have to sit there and watch the whole game, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember which sections it's in, but they have the TC Clubhouse out in, you know, in the outfield. I can't remember what section it is, but it's great. There's a little playground for them.
It's just right up on the, it's in the 200 level, right? Just right
upstairs.
Yeah,
it's super fun. So, yeah, there's tons of stuff for them to do. They love the food. So, yeah. And you know, it does teach them, like, hey, you're going to learn to be patient. You're going to do some things that the grown-ups want to do.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. This weekend, super hot. You love the heat.
I don't mind it. Doesn't bother me.
Was this even too much for you?
I think it was hot Saturday too. We were home yesterday. We were at the pool, and look, I'm not going to bring my 2-year-old out in the heat all day. But for me, I love it. I think it says that I don't know if I was meant to be a Minnesotan, because when we were in Palm Springs, it was like 100 degrees one day, and I loved it.
Yeah.
To me, I am not a winter. I try so hard. I try to be, you know, I should have learned ice fishing. I should have learned downhill skiing. Like, I just don't have a good winter hobby. So to me, I wait all year to get to summer, so I'm not going to complain when it's hot. Same thing in news. I'm like, I had a rule that I would not complain if we had to do a heat story, because I'm like, you know, I complain too much in the winter. You can't have it both
right.
ways. Right. So.
No, I was talking to...
I feel like you don't complain too
no,
much.
No, I don't really care that much. And, like, you know, we had Sam's graduation party on Saturday, and it was hot. It was, like, heat index was 100. But there was a breeze, and if you found some shade, it was all right by me. I don't know. I don't really care that much. Like, the weather does not kind of it does not impact me in almost any way.
But then you look at the serious who take the sun skin care very seriously, because your dermatologist will tell you, right, you should cover up. And you look at the people who take it really seriously on a 101 degree day, and they've got the long, you know, the sleeves, oh, yeah. and you're like, wow, that's a different level of comfort in the heat for skin safety. But I'm not quite that comfortable with it. But
right, it's true.
Yes.
Kate Raddatz is with us. Kate, there was a new survey that we saw in PC Mag talking about something that this weekend with my parents in town, and I don't know if any of you out there who are millennials or Gen X can relate to how annoyed the boomers get when anyone is on the phone. My parents, they are on red alert. And from when our kids were younger and had a phone, we would tell them when we would go to Chicago, like, look, this makes grandma mad. Do not be on your phone. Or like, when we would go to their house, we would say, we are going to take the phone from you. Because it just, and I get it, like, if you're 60 or 70, like, you didn't grow up around that. And so it's really annoying. Do you have that? Is that an issue at all with your family? Like, my mom is constantly complaining about anybody who's on the phone.
I don't think the only time my parents would really complain is if we were having dinner. Like, that was always, that is a rule, even though I'm, obviously, I don't, like, I have my own family now, but, like, they would definitely complain if someone was on the phone if we were having dinner together.
That's
but
a rule
I'll
in my family,
honest,
too. You got to put away the
phone.
Hopefully,
got to put away the phone, but hopefully she's not listening. But I feel like my mom is the worst offender. She's going to say that's not true, but I find that a lot of times they are also on their phone a lot.
It's fine for them, Kate. It's always fine for mom to do whatever she wants.
Yes.
But the rest of us are the worst. Yes, that's hilarious.
She'll criticize my generation in general, that we are always on our phone. I'm sure there have been times, but it doesn't come to mind too much, probably because she knows I wouldn't probably listen.
So my mom was talking about this, that she had a friend, they were out to lunch, and the phone rang, and the friend took the call. 75% of U.S. adults say it is unacceptable to use the phone during a conversation. Most people think it's unacceptable when you're having a conversation with someone to use your phone. Now, Gen Z, 40% of Gen Z say it's fine. You can text and email while actively conversing with someone else. Would you text or email when you are on the phone when you are having an in-person conversation with someone?
Oh, I wouldn't text, but I would definitely take a phone call. Because to me, no one calls me unless it's for work.
That's
but
right.
If someone is calling me, I am genuinely concerned. Like, why are you calling me?
Yeah.
Because you can text me. So I would not be mad if someone picked up their phone.
Now, where are you on snooping on a partner's device? So would you open up your husband's phone and just take a little look-see?
No, he doesn't have anything exciting on there.
He's so boring. So
he's so boring. We both know each other's passwords just to take, you know.
Yep.
I've tried to send each other photos or something like that, you know, that we've taken with the kids and stuff like that. But
Alyssa has my passwords, too. Like, it's fine. She can log into my phone whenever she wants.
Yeah. Like, we share a location. They're just, you know, I just have no desire.
1 in 4 millennials say it's acceptable to snoop through a partner's device. 84%.
I mean, I don't think it's unacceptable. I just don't know why you need to, you know.
Overall, 84% of adults say it's unacceptable to snoop on a partner's device. It is interesting. Like, if my wife, so I want her to have full freedom to do it. She has my passwords. If she grabbed my phone off my bed and started going through, like, my emails or my texts, I would be ticked. I would be mad about it.
It would be weird.
It's like, you don't trust me?
Probably
you don't trust me?
Like, I don't want to read through the guy's text and the neighbor, you know, the long thread. Like, I don't want to know.
No,
I don't care.
Correct. She does not want to read. Any of my group texts could not be more boring to her. There's no way. There's no way. That's very funny.
Exactly.
I think it's interesting, like, how those rules sort of change. Let's break in just a minute. We are going to continue this conversation. We're at Target Field. Kate Raddatz with more of the Rad Report. We'll talk about a little vacation you just took that you wrote about on your website. And then this question. What do you do if you have airport lounge access, which I've never had, so I don't know, and your partner doesn't, like your travel partner? So this is sort of the, like, what if you get upgraded to first class and your husband or wife has to stay back and coach? Do you do it? Do you take the upgrade? We'll talk about that with Kate in just a second here on CCO. Batting practice underway here at Target Field. Twins and Seattle start a four-game series, and the Twins desperately need a little bit of magic, a little bit of pitching help, and have turned this thing around. What have they lost, Dan?
Nine of their last ten, I think 13 of their last 16. They need some good vibes more than anything else right now. So,
all right, be a nice night to be out here at the ballpark. We're having a great night. Beautiful. Nice little breeze, 82 degrees. This is summer. Drive Time On Location. We're talking with Kate Raddatz. And, Kate, you were just at really one of the most beautiful parts of the upper Midwest, I think, a place that we used to vacation a lot, being from the Chicago area. You were in Door County, right?
Yes. I completely forgot about that. Of course you probably went there growing up.
It's beautiful. It is beautiful up there, isn't it? How did you guys end up going there?
So I went a lot growing up as a kid, and on this getaway, both of our sisters, my husband's sister and my sister, they had babies in the last year. So we wanted to be able to go somewhere. It was kind of their first time, like, doing a trip with their babies. And we said, well, let's go to Door County. This is great. You know, we can all be chaos together with our five kids. And, you know, it was a reminder of, you always feel like to get away, you know, you got to hop on a plane or, you know, whatever. And we forget how many beautiful places we have within driving distance right here in the Midwest. And, you know, I've never gone back to Door County until now with my own kids. And it's just one of those places that if you like doing a lot of things outdoors, something new every day, there is just so much to do there. There's so much to do for all ages. So, we just had such a great time. And I think for anyone, if you haven't been there, because I'm surprised by how many people I know who haven't.
Yeah.
It's such an easy, right? It's sick for us. It takes us 6 hours. But, right, it's so much easier than flying somewhere.
How would you compare it to sort of the North Shore, right? I think Minnesotans kind of go to, like, Grand Marais, go to Duluth. How would you compare the Door County experience?
I would compare it to that it's different in that Door County is made up of a series of really unique little towns.
Yeah.
And each town has their own distinct personality of what they're known for. So you have kind of an artsy Egg Harbor. You have the more nature side, you know, the Lake Michigan open side by Bailey's Harbor. Then you have more of the shopping district in maybe Fish Creek, I would say. So it just has so many different places you can go. Washington Island is stunning. You know, my kids have never been on a ferry before. To them, they think they're on the ocean, you know?
Yes.
we're just really lucky. And like you said, I mean, you grew up, if you're in the Midwest, you know of it. And the rest of the country really doesn't.
Yeah.
So if you do live here, you really should, you know, take advantage of it. There's so many resorts and Airbnbs and places you can stay. And we just had such a good time. I could see us for sure coming back again in the future. It was so fun. Yeah.
It gives East Coast vibes, right? Because it's that sort of, like you said, each town up and down, it's on Lake Michigan. So all of them, you have that sort of unique personality. Yeah, you can do like multiple vacations in one, which is kind of cool. I think more and more people are going to drive, you know? I think this is... I know the Hospitality Association is calling this the summer of staycation, and I think of that broadly, but I do think, you know, people are nervous about the cost of everything, and I just think a lot more people are going to be driving around Minnesota and Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yes, and, you know, their tourism is clearly doing fine.
Because it was hopping.
See the businesses, they're still open that have been there for... you know, 30 since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely put it on your list because you can definitely make it budget friendly.
There's that nostalgia aspect too. Yeah, in Chicago, Door County, people would call that like Chicago's largest national park.
I was going to say, what is it like?
Yes.
Yeah,
everybody that just was a commonplace. We would go to Mackinac Island in Michigan.
Oh, beautiful! Yes.
Yeah. But we didn't
all of those are beautiful. I haven't been there with the kids. I want to do that for sure.
Great for kids. In my memories, though, we went on these vacations all the time, and I always have to check with my parents because my memories are considerably more rosy than what the reality was.
But that's good. They give you a good childhood.
Yeah, so, like, we probably went to Door County twice, and in my storytelling, I'm like, oh, Door County all the time. Like, just ridiculous. My parents are like, no. Not true.
The goats on the building. Was like the one thing the goats were looking forward to.
Yes.
Yep, the goats.
Is it a restaurant or a hotel? But they
is a restaurant. Yeah. I will say, didn't know they had strict requirements. One day they couldn't go out because it was misty. One day they couldn't go out because it was a little warm. So
high maintenance, these goats. I was at a pizza farm with goats a couple weeks ago in Princeton. And they were the fainty goats. You know, the goats that, like, periodically, like, freeze up and fall over?
Oh, no. That sounds horrifying.
If you do a YouTube search, one of the earliest stories I did as a news reporter at Channel 4 when I was just a youngster was this sweeps story about fainty goats.
Of course. Was this a good question? Or just
No. This was just like a tonight at 10.
Wow, and you just see these hard-hitting day.
Oh, yes, but you'd see these videos of what's happening to these Minnesota goats. You know, it just was like very over the top,
That's funny. A pizza farm, that's a very great, like, bucket list Minnesota bucket list summer item. Yes.
It was fun. Yes. The pizza was good, too. All right, one quick question for you, and it's about the upgrade, right? So, like, if you're on a flight and you're in coach, you get upgraded to first class. Do you leave your husband behind in coach and take the upgrade?
If we were with our family, no. If it was just me and him, 1,000,000%, yes.
What about lounge access? You have airport lounge access. Your husband does not. Do you go into the Delta Premier, whatever, Fancy Pants Lounge, and tell your husband to have a good time at Sbarro or at Cinnabon, or what do you do?
Just get him a guest pass. Take the X. It's fine.
Oh, can
it's
you do fine. That now? I don't know. I don't know anything.
Sure.
About this. All right. Very good. Kate, thank you.
Yep.
Kate Raddatz, Rab Report here on CCO. We got a big timer joining us next. Danny Gladden, right here in the flesh. What's it like to come and do a broadcast when your team is in the slump? We'll talk about that. What do you want to know from Danny? Text in 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in just a minute from Target Field. All right, we are live at Target Field 2 hours before the first pitch. You'll hear it here on CCO, and you'll hear this guy, Danny Gladden. It's good to see you again.
Good to be here. Nice, a little bit different view out here in left field, but still, you're at the ballpark.
Have you guys have done the broadcast from different locations before?
I've done it from down here, the left field foul pole. I did it as a ball person.
Yeah.
on a smoking hot day like it was this last weekend. But other than that, and then we did it out, Corey and I did it out in right center field out there. So we have been moved around.
I got to be a ball boy once.
Did you?
It's a little...
You're at Target Field?
Yeah. It was amazing.
You realize how fast the game is.
Oh, my gosh. And you think, like, I mean, the way these pitchers throw the ball in there, it is... And then you guys we have all these stats now, right? The exit velocity and all this stuff. I did not need a stat to tell me the exit velocity when one of those balls is coming right at you and you're just going
to help. Did you get any foul balls?
I did. I got a couple foul balls and got to give them to fans, which was great. So great.
I did not get – I had a chance for one. Miguel Sano was playing third base. He went in foul territory and got it before
he got
rolled
it
to me. So.
That is that moment. You sort of want to get one, but you also don't want to fumble it, right? You don't want to make I didn't want to embarrass
you. I made enough errors in my time. One more is not going to matter.
The texters are unbelievable. Before the break, I invited people to text in if they wanted to say something to you or had a question. It's 651-461-9226. And the people are really appreciative of you. It's pretty cool. Like, how about this? For Dan Gladden, I immensely enjoy your game commentary. As much as I loved Herb Carneal's. You aren't going to retire anytime soon, are you?
I'm going to play this year out, and we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm a year-to-year guy, a day-to-day guy.
Do you still love it?
I still enjoy playing at the ballpark, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's still a lot of work. It's a lot of work, though, isn't it?
You know what? There's a lot of work that goes into preparation before the game.
Right.
But then once the game starts, you just try to draw that picture to the fans that are listening as to what's going out on the field.
When you're in the booth, what do you have in front of you? Do you just have a scorecard? Do you have
computers? I have my scorecard. I got some notes. I like to pick a topic maybe outside our game that's going around Major League Baseball and touch on that maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
And see what, just talk to my partner about what's going on outside of the Twins and whoever they're playing.
Right. Because the reality is, and they've sped up the game a bit with the pitch clock.
Sure.
But sometimes, I mean,
your story's got to be quick and short.
Yeah. Is that hard for you?
It is if the other guy's talking.
Well, and your partner is not exactly a brief communicator, I would say.
Well, he'll tell you. He went to Stanford as an English major, wow. So he's got to get all those big words out there. Yeah.
I don't think he's ever mentioned that he went to Stanford. I'm just kidding. And the way you know somebody went to Stanford is they're going to tell you real quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That or if another player or somebody else, he'll remind me that he went to Fresno.
Right.
You know, this guy went to Fresno. That's the school I went to. So that's very rare.
It's tough when the team is not clicking. And the Twins have been in a rough patch here the last 20 games at least. When you look at this, I mean, it starts with the pitching, right? I mean, other teams have been running up the score on us like crazy.
Well, it goes hand in hand. Sometimes it's pitching. Sometimes there's lack of hitting. We did that the other night, 5 hits, no runs.
Yeah.
There was a stretch there in May that, we rattled off a winning streak. And it seemed like it was pretty good then. Our pitchers were, I think, 30-something innings of scoreless ball. So, back then it was pretty easy to talk about the Twins.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you look so nervous?
Huh? Dan wasn't happy with my camera angle on you there.
Okay,
I think.
Well, yeah. What do you want me to do about it?
I feel you should do nothing.
Okay.
I think you're doing great.
Do you want me to move?
No.
Okay.
You know. It's just YouTube. Who cares,
You're
right?
Nervous.
I'm nervous?
Yeah, you seem
You
nervous.
Think so? No.
Okay.
You know, I don't think so.
Go ahead. Get to the emails.
All right, let's go. Dan, appreciate. Well, first we have a gal, and I always get worried if a gal texts about you and what this story is going to be.
Well, when she said she's a big Herb Carneal fan, right?
Yeah. Well, then this other gal texted in and said that she went to grade school with you in San Jose, California.
Well.
Is that true? Did you go to grade school in San Jose?
Louise Van Meter.
Yeah. How about that?
I don't think she went to the parochial school school I went to.
Maybe not, yeah. Dan, appreciate you staying and living in Minnesota. What made you keep a home here?
Well, home base. I didn't want my kids bouncing around, going to school, getting off in the summertime, coming out and visiting Dad as a baseball player. We wanted to root here. We did. My kids went to school here, high school here. My kids live here today. My grandkids live here today.
What do your kids do? What do your kids do?
My daughter, Ashley, works for Marvin Windows.
Oh, cool.
So, great deal there.
Great company.
Great company. I got Marvin Windows into in my barn out at the farm and my house in Arizona. My other daughter, Whitney, is a wedding planner. So if you're looking for a wedding planner, Whitney James Events. Whitney James Event. She travels, does a lot of weddings in Banff, Canada, and Monterey, California. So she does a great job at it.
Isn't it really fun to watch your kids? Like, so I'm in this sort of little bit of a nostalgic, emotional phase because my youngest kid just graduated high school. And so you're seeing these boys who were boys.
Still a boy.
And he's still a boy.
Still okay. Getting ready to turn into a man.
You see the beginnings of it. And it's kind of cool. Like, as a parent, I worried I would screw them up, being a little bit public. You're a public figure as a parent. Did you worry that that would I mean, there are benefits of that, but I worried about it, too, on the kids.
I think I probably got them out of more trouble than I did get them in trouble. But you know what? You've got to let them grow. I've always said I was one of those guys that liked to kick them out of the nest.
Yep.
You agree. Go to school, you got to go out of the state.
Yep.
So daughter went to Arizona, another daughter went to ASU, Kansas, and ended up, you know, getting in a little bit of academic trouble. Came home, and John Gordon helped me get her in Augsburg College.
Oh.
Best thing that ever happened to her.
Cool.
Best thing that ever happened to her. And I thank John every day for it.
That it is amazing because those hiccups, you know, you're like, okay.
It's part of growing up.
It's part of growing up.
You know, I went to college 4 years, too, and I had my hiccups, too.
Yeah, yeah. But
that safety net was the fact that I could play baseball.
There is value to getting those kids out of here. I got a kid in New York. The other one's going to USC.
And I learned how to boil water and cook ramen in the microwave.
Yeah.
You know?
Today we talked about the garage. What happens if, because we had a power outage at our home this morning. And
you
so,
did.
Yeah, I did. And so the college boy says,
what do I do?
I'm like, what would you do if this happened in your house? And he's like, well, I'd ask ChatGPT what to do. And his girlfriend is like, you dummy, that's what the string is for. We're like, well, luckily the girlfriend will be able to get him out of trouble, maybe. Daddy Gladden is with us, talking Twins baseball, talking life. Texter wants to know, who was your favorite baseball player while you were growing up?
You know, I grew up in the Bay Area, so I got to go to a lot of Giants games, a lot of A's games. It wasn't one particular player. I just liked, you know, I loved Chris Spier. He played shortstop. Of course, Pete Rose. I like guys that played the game hard, and I would take a little bit from each player and then would try to emulate that. You know, we used to play that three flies up, and you'd run around and, you know, you'd imitate, you know, Willie Mays, you know, and, you know, Chris Spier, you would swing like those guys. So there's always somebody that, you know, you could emulate. But when I would go to the ballpark, you know, just like here, I like certain things about guys, the way they play.
Yeah.
I like the way Carlos Correa comes out and takes his ground balls. He doesn't take a ton of them. He takes quality rather than quantity.
Yeah.
And he gets in there and he gets his job done, gets his work in, prepares himself well physically, and then he'll go in and kind of relax a little bit, and you'll get your mind ready for the game, if that is watching video, potential pitcher here tonight, or whatnot.
When you look at ballparks around Major League Baseball, you and I were talking about this in the break, Target Field, 15 years old. So to me, it is stunning, and I don't know if it's the brick. There's something about the way that the organization has kept this field up or kept improving it. I don't know. But it does not look 15 years old. It looks beautiful.
Marsden, the cleaning company here.
Well, we heard the first hour of the show. We heard it in the background.
Yes, they do good work here. See them all around the park.
It looks beautiful.
Yes, it does.
It looks beautiful. Do you have other favorite ballparks that you visit?
I enjoy Anaheim. I love the atmosphere there. And then in the daytime, you can, of course, you go to the beach, hang out there.
Yeah.
Come to the ballpark, 3 o'clock, 3:30. Nice atmosphere at Anaheim. You know, of course, Fenway Park, all the nostalgic ballparks they have there. You know, historically, Boston is a sports town.
Yeah.
And it shows up. You know, the Boston fans are, I don't care if it's hockey or, you know, basketball or the baseball team, they're just pretty good.
Those fans are phenomenal.
There's no bad. If you would ask me what's the worst ballpark to go to, I would have to say everybody loves Pittsburgh. But from a broadcasting standpoint, we're
way too high.
We're higher than the light standards.
Mm. Seriously?
Higher than the light standards.
So it's like being a hockey broadcaster where they're all the way up.
Terrible. Terrible. And it's tough to be able to, you know, gauge the fly balls and things like that. But it's still, once you get down ground level, it's a nice park.
You mentioned Pete Rose, a texter asking what you think about the whole Hall of Fame situation.
No, we're going to have to wait and see. I think he's got to wait a couple of years before he gets on that ballot. I think that there's still people, you know, that would vote on him. I know there's still a lot of people that will not vote for him. So, you know, just going to have to wait and see. You're never going to take his hits away. You're never going to take the history of Pete Rose away. The blemish is, you know, he bet on baseball, and now it's ironic that Major League Baseball is now in bed with FanDuel and what else?
All of that.
Yeah, all the betting.
They'll take the money. But that they'll be like, oh, we can't. The integrity of the game.
DraftKings. Yeah.
Come on. I know. I think it's a load myself. And well, I don't blame them for being in bed with these things. Now it is what the fan wants, I think.
It's a billion-dollar industry, yeah. No question about it.
Right.
So make whatever money you can when you can. But, you know, I'd like to see them. It's nice to be able to make that kind of money and then to be able to maybe put a portion of it back into the team.
Yeah. You know? Yes, exactly.
But there's a good product out there right now with what they have, and it's, you know, people talk to me about last year's failure and how they tanked the last month of the season.
Right.
And they, a lot of people, everybody, oh, they didn't spend the extra there. They took $30 million off the books. Well, we played the way we did, you know, up until that last month of the season, and it had nothing to do with salary. It had everything to do with the play of the players on the field. They're the ones that lost it, not the salary, not your payroll.
It's the same deal right now, right?
Right.
It's the players.
The players.
Yeah. And 30 mil isn't going to change.
Absolutely not.
Right.
No.
It is. I feel like baseball is the only sport where fans get this obsessed about payroll.
Yeah, probably.
It's a weird deal.
I don't. Yeah. Well, I think there's a salary cap on everything else.
I suppose so. Danny, always love talking to you. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Danny Gladden. He's a great guy. Great broadcaster, too. I'll tell you the Danny Gladden story where he asked the greatest. You got to leave first. Get out of here. Drive time back in a minute.
You're going to tell a story I'm not here.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. 81 degrees. Bradshaw and Bryant bringing us the forecast tonight. Low of 62. Tomorrow, high of 82. We are live at Target Field. One more hour until pregame. 6:40 first pitch with Seattle. I love talking to Danny Gladden. You love listening to Danny Gladden, don't you, Dan? Of course you do.
How
do
Absolutely.
He at Twins Fest, if I'm like dancing around asking too much of a question.
He'll get on you.
He's like, just ask the question. Are you going to, you know, whatever. Like, every time, there's something about, not all former players are great broadcasters.
Nope.
But that man, I think, is a great broadcaster.
I think so, and I think, you know, he understands it, obviously, from both sides, right? I mean, he was interviewed for how long as a player, and so that obviously plays a role in how he goes about interviewing people
yep.
now.
And he has to put up with Atterbury, so.
There's that.
Oof. We love you, Chris. Keep it here. Drive time coming back.